is it. This is the first episode of the Movie Dweeb podcast. I say the first. Could be the last. I'm very bad at committing to anything, which is bad. Seeing as I'm getting married this year, I should probably get better at committing to things. Where I'm going to be chatting about films and interviews and all that sort of garbage with... Should have sold it better than garbage, but here we are. Going to be chatting with some of my movie friends. And the first episode, I've started with a good friend of mine. He has interviewed Zac Efron, Anya Taylor-Joy, Margot Robbie, Hailee Steinfeld, Tom Holland. And yet somehow... You still have the best hair in every single one of those interviews. Simon Harkness, how are you?
Oh, good, man. How are you?
Good. I mean, are you saying good to be polite, or are you just recovering from COVID?
Yeah, very much the latter. But also, it's just lovely to be here with you.
Yeah, in a very small, confined room as we breathe heavily on the microphone.
Do I sound better with a cold? Because I feel like I do.
When you said, I do, there was a bit of a husky Jason Statham to you, which if people are listening to the podcast, they're like, oh yeah, it could be sexy. If people are watching the podcast going, no.
It's not happening. I'm probably getting a bit red now as well.
Yeah, you are. I feel like we're on first dates. It's quite cute and sexy.
It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. I'm so honoured to be your first guest. This is so lovely, man.
No, I just use this as a practice run.
Okay. Yeah.
This will probably never see the light of day.
Makes sense.
I'm saying like... call people for it.
Yeah, that's completely fine. People who are well, usually.
Yeah, people that won't infect me with a genuinely deadly disease. It's like our life ambition is to be rich and famous and loved by all. Let's face it.
Yeah, you wanted to deny it,
but actually we're egomaniacs and that's why we're doing this podcast.
When you strip it back, yeah, that's all I want.
That's
life.
All we want. And You got a little taste of that, a little slither. Mm. When you went viral with Zendaya herself.
Yeah.
I'm not bitter, it's fine. It's so fine.
It was weird because like, I just sort of remember just sort of sitting down and you're getting mic'd up. Normally in a junket you've got microphones like above you, so you don't have to worry about being mic'd up. But this one there was like a radio mic, so people are just coming in fitting you with mics, and I had to end up having a handheld mic. And you're just sort of waiting for people to start and say action. So I'm just like sat there talking to them, and I was like, by the way, guys, I love this movie. It was mind blowing. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. And they're like, okay, action. So I was like, guys, congratulations on the movie. It's mind blowing. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. And they're all like, oh, thanks, man. And I just hear cut, and I was like,
what a stirring interview.
Yeah, time is tight. So you hear cut, and I was like, did I say something I shouldn't have said? Or like, Simon, your microphone's not on. I was like, okay, well, this is a great start. So someone comes to fix the mic, and yeah, I'm just sort of sat there. All four of them are just looking at me. And I was just like, that was genuine, by the way, guys. I absolutely loved the movie.
Oh, I don't like the groveling of it all.
I was just sort of looking at me like, this is weird, isn't it? And yeah, luckily they found it funny. But yeah, it was an amazing, amazing day.
And when they then said, like, let's do take two, did you say that you loved the movie again?
Yeah, it was...
You said it four times, four consecutive times.
Yeah.
Oh, they must have heard it. That's the thing, they would have heard that so much because June is a fantastic film. People say it's a good film.
Yeah.
To have it four times in a row.
It was a lot.
But let's talk about you actually becoming a viral superstar.
Well, that's massively overstating it.
Yeah, but I have to sell the
podcast. Oh, true. Yeah, sorry, yeah.
This bloke got 13 retweets once. Stick around for the next 45 minutes.
Sorry, yeah, about me being a huge viral superstar, which I completely agree with. Yeah. So it was weird because I remember thinking, like, we were one of, like, only, like, two outlets who got all four of them. And I thought, like, well, if that's the case and we're going to be with all four, I just felt like... they're all very good friends. They're all on this incredible press tour together. Just felt like the best way to approach it would be to ask individual questions, but also ask questions where, like, all of them can get involved, because you're like, getting four of them? That's insane. You've got to make the most of that chemistry. So I asked, like, Austin, Zendaya, and Timothy, you're on a huge global press tour at the moment, but if you could bring one thing back from the UK with you to the States, what would it be? And yeah, Zendaya said Tom Holland, and my heart soared. And my head exploded. Yeah. And like, if you watch a video, you see me go, that's such a lovely answer. Because I was just like, No way did she just say that.
You know, really, like Bugs Bunny cartoons where their eyes turn to dollar signs. Was yours just like that? Like, here we go.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Honestly, yeah. It was like, you know, when like you just get an answer when you're like, oh, that's a clip. Well, that was probably the most sure I've ever been when I heard an answer. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And I think like I'm really proud of it because like, I also didn't ask, like I didn't actively ask, oh, what's the tea with you and Tom? Has Tom taken you anywhere? Because
if
you
ever
never
said,
do that.
What's the tea with you and Tom? Yeah. I would end this friendship immediately. So I'm going to scrap all the questions about you and Beth in this segment now. It's annoying. So I don't know what else we really talk about now.
No, that is mainly our whole friendship really just talking about.
Could maybe talk about how I got some views as well.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank God,
let's do it.
Thank God.
Tell me about your Austin clip, because the moment you sent me that, kind of going back to what I was saying, sometimes you get clips and you're like, I think that's going to bang. And then the moment you sent me that video, I was like, oh my God, that's just fucking brilliant.
It was a surreal moment. Like, so we did a shoot with Austin Butler and Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole day, so like we was in the studio setting up for like 2-3 hours and I was singing Beyonce Break My Soul, like on repeat, because it's an absolute banger. And as he's coming, he's getting mic'd up, I'm just sitting there to myself like, you won't break my soul. Do you reckon that's going to get flagged, demonetized now for being so like the actual song?
I think you put enough of your personality in it and enough of your own unique take on it. I feel like you'll be fine.
You do have a Louis Walsh about you, as you said that. It was like he was in the room, and I didn't like it, quite frankly. I've lost Jedward as viewers of this podcast.
That's wild, isn't it?
I love that we've gone Austin Butler, Jedward.
Jedward, let's get into
more
it.
Important. If you want to come on the podcast, I'll take it. Although we've only got 2 seats in here, so they're going to have to like totem pole and sit on each other's shoulders or something.
That is the first immediate red flag. there's not enough seats. Two people.
There's also no aircon in here, and I'm so hot.
And it's March. it's not.
God forbid I do one podcast episode in June. I will die.
Sorry,
I was singing Break My Soul, and he just looked at me and was like, oh, wait, are you singing You Won't Break My Soul? And I was like, but he sang it back at me, and I thought, this dude has got an Oscar nomination for playing Elvis Presley, like the king of rock and roll. Like, he's performed with the greatest pop star, Sharpay Evans, in a High School Musical movie.
Of course.
How is that guy's musical career going to get any bigger than singing with me? Like, what a moment. And then, like, he was like, oh, you said, and I was like, yeah, I was singing that. And then for some unknown reason, I saw lust in my eyes. I'm the Beyonce of the room. And I don't know why I said that, because there was a load of people in there I've never worked with, like cameramen and all that, who clearly hated me at that point.
In the same room, just so we know, as Timothy Chalamet and Austin Butler, you come in with,
I'm the Beyonce of the room. Yeah. Two of them Academy Award nominees, and I'm also there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think like, oh, maybe like his egomania stops there. Like, that's it, it's peaked. He went to me, are you a Virgo? Because that's Beyonce's star sign. Da, da, da. And then one of my co-workers was like, oh, I'm a Virgo. And if you watch the video, I grab her shoulder and push her against a wall, saying, shut up, it's about me, though. What a psychopath.
Yeah, it is quite sociopathic behaviour. Yeah. But it's also really fucking funny.
I mean, I will do it again for the views. Yeah, exactly. HR are telling me, you know, slow down on that sort of stuff. They're co-workers, like. But for the views, I will do it.
How many views has the video got? Because it blew up on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter was really good. It's on a few mil now, which is quite nice.
That's insane.
And it's also, I'm so pleased because he is, I think, the best part of that film.
Really?
I think June 2, he is the best part of June 2.
That's huge.
His performance in that is incredible, I think. Mm. But yeah, and it seems like you don't agree.
He's not in it enough for it to be, in my opinion, yeah. I think the relationship between Paul Lowell and... I think whatever he was smoking when he came up with the first batch of names had worn off.
Yeah.
By the time he got to Paul.
Yeah, and his mum's called Jess, I don't know. It went from like the world of like June or that to just then like Emmerdale.
Yeah.
Just write Emmerdale characters at that point.
I thought Timothy and Zendaya's relationship in the movie was the highlight for me.
Yeah.
As well as like the incredible visual effects and like world building. Austin Butler is very, very good in it.
I love how much he sounds like Stellan Skarsgård as well.
Yeah, true.
He sounds so much like him, which is good as well, because now maybe for the next like 2.5 years, he'll have a Stellan Skarsgård voice, much like Elvis. He just can't get out of that realm now. He's just stuck like that. And we're also in agreement that the second best thing to come out of the Dune Part 2 is Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
He was in that film, wasn't he?
Yeah. Who'd have thought? He's in it for like 12 seconds.
But he's not even in it as a character. He's in it as Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Which I love for him, because he's just turned up on set and everyone's like, oh yeah, this bloke's going to be riding a giant sandworm. This bloke's going to fight in a gladiator ring, and it's all in black and white, and he's not got hair on his body. You're going to wear a white robe.
Your hair's going to stay exactly the same.
Yeah. Do you want to do a funny voice? No, I don't think I do. All right, Chris, right. You just do you, buddy. And that's it. And they just went, yeah, we'll keep that in.
I know. It's awesome. Florence gave me a really cool answer about that, actually. She said that, like, working alongside Christopher Walken, she really wanted to, like, because she was the favourite child, she wanted pretty much her costume and her whole look to sort of mirror his. So her hair in the movie is very similar to Christopher Walken's, and she, like, pushed for that, which I thought was pretty cool.
I wish she did what Austin did for Stellan Skarsgård, and Florence Pugh did a Christopher Walken voice throughout the whole thing. But, you know, you've mentioned it. I don't know if anyone is aware. Simon interviewed Timothy, Austin, Florence, and Zendaya. I don't know if you've mentioned it at all.
I'm very quiet about it.
Yeah. I have not interviewed them. So, as you're their close friends...
Yeah.
I want to... Yeah, not even a second to think about it. Like, yeah, no, they are.
Not even a beat. Yeah.
You know them a lot better than I do. So I want to play a game. It's called... It's called... I don't like it, but I'm running with it. Dune's most likely to.
Okay.
It's who's most likely to.
Is it?
But yeah. It's a thinker, that one. It's got layers to it. It's who's most likely to... But I said June.
But with
it's
June.
It's clever. It's so clever. So I'm going to give you a few scenarios. And out of those four guys, you just tell me who's most likely to. And more importantly, why.
Okay,
so...
I'm going to get cancelled, aren't I? This is... Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm doing. If I can get every guest on here to get cancelled, I'm the only interviewer in the UK. I get all talent. I'm not as dumb as I look. I'm a genius.
Such a fucking great idea.
Isn't it? Isn't it really good? Oh god, I got way too like maniacal. Yeah. There, didn't I? Like, stroking a little white cat. Like, ha, ha, ha.
You added even more weight to your argument. Yeah.
It was a joke at first, but I was like, actually, no. What am I doing? Who's most likely to cheapen out on a round of drinks at the bar?
Definitely not Florence.
No.
No. She does so much press with drinks in her hands. It's really funny. Timothy, I think Austin goes with whatever. If people want to go out, mm-hmm. Austin's like, yeah. If more people want to stay in, I think Austin's like, no, it's cool. I'll just watch Peep Show. Because apparently that's a fucking thing.
Austin Butler likes Peep
Loves
Show.
Loves Peep Show, yeah. So I reckon Austin's like, yeah, if we're going out, we'll go out. If not, hotel room, Peep Show, I'm fine. I think it's between...
That sounded like your pickup line, by the way. Hotel room, bitter. We'll do the old Peep Show.
Or even just watching Peep Show.
All that,
That's such a great pickup line. You can have that.
Watch Peep Show.
I think it's between Zendaya and Timothy, and I'm going to go Zendaya. And the reason why is because Zendaya has recently said that she is very much more comfortable being at home. And Tom is obviously, like, full of riz, as she said.
And you said like, tea and riz, by the way. You're one floss away from being a TikTok sensation.
I think that naturally, like, she's like pajamas and chill kind of person. And so, yeah, I think out of those four, I'd probably go Zendaya.
You did so well not to call any of them cheapskates. That was my first plot. I wanted you to go, Timothy's really cheap and he'll never buy anyone anything. But you're so smart to navigate that. Who are you most likely to bump into at 3 a.m. getting a Macca's?
I think Florence.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because, like, she's a proper foodie. McDonald's.
A sophisticated.
Sophisticated when it comes to
the
food.
The McBurger.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very British thing, isn't it? 3 o'clock in the morning, McDonald's, steaming.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing more British than McDonald's.
Shit-faced.
Yeah.
In fact, I would argue it's one of the happiest times of your life.
Simon, this should be therapy, not a podcast.
Isn't it, though? Like, yeah. We just had a great night out, and it's all winding down, and you go, you see the arches, and you're like,
yeah.
Do you know what?
I mean, it's happiest for me, because I fucking hate a night out. So I'm like, oh, good, it's ended, and I can eat. Like, that's why it's happiest for me.
Maybe then, in that case, it's Zendaya, because maybe she's so done with going out, she sees McDonald's, and she's like, okay, yeah, we'll do that.
Did you just compare me and Zendaya?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's the main takeaway from.
Thanks.
Yeah, I reckon Florence and then, Zendaya after that.
Who's most likely to make an absolute fortune and spend it all on like exotic animals like tigers and zebras?
I think Timothy. I feel like Timothy Chalamet, yeah.
What's he buying?
I think loads of chocolate, like Wonka chocolate slides. Because he takes his work really seriously, doesn't he? So I reckon he would have a Wonka room.
Yeah.
Where he can, like, be immersed with the character. I reckon, yeah, maybe like some
An
sort
entire
of
room full of peaches he can shag. Yeah. Just, oh, call me by your name room. Yeah, that's something.
Every, yeah. I was thinking going off every movie he's ever worked on, he would have some interesting rooms, like the cannibal room.
Yeah.
Are we thinking like Scarface levels of like exotic birds? Yeah. Exotic
Should
animals?
That be the next one? Who's most likely to own a drug cartel? And now finally, who's most likely to win an Oscar next?
Oh, great one. I think it's... Oh, that's really difficult.
Yes. Journalism.
Journalism, baby. I don't reckon Austin.
No.
I think it is a three-way tie between Florence, Zendaya and Timothy. What I'm going to do is I think Zendaya, out of nowhere, is going to drop a performance which no one saw coming, and everyone's going to be like, whoa, didn't see that coming, because that'd be the first time she's been nominated and she'll win it for the first time.
I was going to say, all of the rest have been nominated. So it's interesting that you picked her like out of them all. Yeah. Who hasn't been nominated.
What do you think?
For me, it's between Florence and Austin. I think Florence is an unstoppable force to be reckoned with. I think she is the new Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I do as well. She's never made a bad career choice.
No.
It is insane.
But I also think Austin. I would put Austin up there because, I just think his commitment to every role. As I said, I think he's the best part of Dune Part 2. I think he gives everything and he... You know, his like choices of what he does is amazing. Like, as I said, his voice and his movements and his mannerism in this alone. Mm. I mean, it's exciting. Like, I read someone say that like there's no Hollywood stars anymore, but like those four,
oh my God,
are the Hollywood stars.
They are, yeah. Which is why like I still find it absolutely insane that like I was like interviewing all four of them. Like, that's literally, I don't think my life will ever get better than that, to be honest.
No, I don't think it will, Simon.
I'm getting married next year.
I'd like to think somewhere that, like, Timothy and Zendaya are in a sweaty cupboard.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, that an interviewing star, I would say. They're doing exactly what we're doing about you.
Yeah. He made us feel so comfortable, didn't he?
When he kept repeating, I like your film. Do you like me? I like your film. Ah, what a great guy. Shall we talk Oscars?
Yeah.
Did you stay up to watch the Oscars?
No,
that's the right choice. I did, and it's been about a week later and I'm still fucking drained. I had to have like Red Bull and sweets to keep me up, which as a type 1 diabetic leaves me like this weird catch 22. I stay awake for the Oscars and die.
Yeah.
Or I go to sleep and miss the Oscars. Like, it's
got to roll the dice.
What did you make of the Oscars?
I was way more invested in this year's ceremony than I usually am. I loved the I'm Just Ken performance.
It just had layers and layers. At one point, when Slash came out, I was like, it's 2 a.m. Am I hallucinating at this point? What the hell is Slash doing there?
It had everything. Slash, the Emma Stone moment, starting off with Margot.
Yep.
Brilliant. Yeah,
I'd love to have just witnessed someone like Spielberg or Scorsese just sat there watching it going like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh, Francesca Scorsese was filming Martin Scorsese, like, reacting to it. And it is so sweet because he looks like he's having the time of his life.
I swear to God, if they don't make a Barbie 2 and get him in it at some point. Because, I mean, bloody Rob Brydon was in it.
True. He's really good in it. I know he's in it for like 4 seconds, but he's really funny in it.
What I love is earlier you went, Austin Butler wasn't injured enough for it to be that much of a performance. Rob Brydon, the bloke from Gavin and Stacey.
I call Barbie the Rob Brydon movie. It's a travesty he wasn't
normally. He got snubbed. He really got...
He got snubbed.
Yeah, Greta,
so
Margot,
energy.
Yeah, they got snubbed. Blah, blah, blah. Rob Brydon.
What did you think of the whole Oscars thing?
I mean, I love the Oscars every year. I thought John Cena had the best moment of the night, like in terms of presenting. I thought he's so fun. And genuinely, I was saying it today, I'm like, that man could host the Oscars.
He has no right to be that funny.
No, but it's annoying. I'm like, okay, so you're handsome, funny. You're muscular, you're athletic. Oh, and you're funny as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have none of those qualities.
Yeah, I agree.
I see myself as a bit of an Oscars aficionado. I really enjoy them. As you said, this is the first time you've stayed awake. So I feel like the odds are in my favour on this one. I want to do a bit of a pop quiz.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to quiz you on the Oscars. But in lieu of our hero, John Cena, for every question you get right on this trivia quiz, I will remove an item of clothing.
Okay.
For every question you get wrong... You will remove an item of clothing.
Okay, sure.
You're surprisingly into this.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
You've come into this room, never been in it before. There's cameras pointing at us, and I've gone, take your clothes off.
It's so hot in here. It's blessed relief.
Oh, God. What's the Oscars called? I don't know. Take it off. Right, here we go. First question. Do you want to do some dramatic music while I get like the questions up? Da da. Dramatic. That's so jazzy. Da, da.
It's like I've got a real thing for like elevator music. I love it.
You are so weird. Who loves elevator music?
Me. It's like white noise for me. I really love it. I put it in so many edits because I just find it really funny.
You didn't even blink during that. You were I love it. I love it. You know when a shark senses blood and its eyes widen? Like, that's what yours did, but
who's,
for elevator
who's
music.
Piano? Who's playing piano? Is that a sax?
Someone playing a royalty-free version of Dua Lipa. Ooh. Right.
Right, yeah.
Question one. Mm. For the trainers.
Okay.
Name 10 people in the famous Oscars selfie.
10?
10, yeah.
You're really desperate to see me naked. Bradley Cooper.
Correct.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Correct.
Kevin Spacey.
Yep, very problematic there.
I know.
It didn't age well, that selfie,
did it?
It
really did not.
No.
Jared Leto.
Again, here we go. Saddam Hussein.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yep, 5.
We're halfway there. Right, now this is where it gets a bit tricky, but I think Brad and Angelina are both there.
Brad and Angelina are both in it. That's 7.
I'm doing well.
You're doing very well.
Elliot Page?
No, not in it.
Really?
Not in it.
Okay, let's insert that dramatic music now. I can't fall down with 3 left. But I'm also aware that this is...
I mean, I gave you a tough one because there's 12 people in the photo.
Yeah, fucking right.
Sorry.
I'm trying to think who hosted that. Oh, no, it was Ellen. Ellen is generous. Jimmy Kimmel?
No.
Is he in it?
You've got one more chance. If you get this wrong, I'm taking your shoes.
I am going to go ballsy and say Leonardo DiCaprio.
Give me them little puppies. you miss Lupita Nyong'o's in it.
Oh, of course.
As is her brother, Peter Nyong'o. Which I think is hilarious.
That's not true.
Honestly, her brother's in it. What I find is so funny is that Peter is like front and center of the photo, by the way. Like Angelina is like peering over his head. Like it's Jared Leto barely makes a photo, but Peter has 98% of the frame to himself. I think what a legend
what
move
a guy.
That is.
Yeah. Shoes are off. Which is just what we needed in this room, by the way.
Yeah. It's quite musky. I sort of taste it in the back of my throat. You can't taste anything because you've just got over COVID, so you're fine. 3 movies have won 11 Oscars. Name one of them.
Lord of the Rings. One of the trilogies. I'm going to say Return of the King.
Right, well, you get to pick an item of clothing.
Is that true?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, shoes.
Yeah, we'll take them off. Oh, this is quite cute, isn't it? We could just lock toes.
Yeah.
Shoes are off.
Shoes are off.
They're whiffy. That is a real... This is a sweaty room.
I've never been so happy to have COVID.
The other two, by the way, were Titanic and Ben-Hur.
Titanic makes sense. Shits, yeah.
Ben-Hur, not so much shit film. Yeah. Shit.
Never seen it. But it reminds me of my grandma, because she used to watch it like every Easter whenever it was on.
And she was called Ben.
Yeah.
Huh? Nice! That was really good. Let's stop. It's never going to get funnier than that. How many times has someone called Oscar won an Oscar?
Three times.
Oh, thank God, it was twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Oscar Hammerstein II won Best Original Song twice. So I think let's take the jacket off. Let's show them guns. I've never seen someone get undressed as awkwardly as that. Your arms were flailing. It was incredible. When John Travolta introduced Idina Menzel to perform Let It Go on stage, what name did he refer to her as?
It's Adele Azima?
I'm going to give you that. Yes. He goes, the one and only wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Oh.
It's incredible. It's they rehearse it as well.
Yeah.
I love that he probably went, so the one and only Idina Menzel. And I just wish the producer went, let's fuck with him. Yeah. He's actually Adele Dazeem. And he's got, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Shall I take the overshirt off?
Do it, man. Do it.
We look like Steve Jobs' weird little clones. Blue jeans and black shirts. I say we go... Should we go for the T-shirt?
Let's do it.
Let's go for the T-shirt.
In it to win it.
How many times had Leonardo DiCaprio been nominated for an Oscar before he finally won one for The Revenant?
Now, I am a huge Leo fan.
Yep.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape was his first. He didn't get nominated for Titanic, and he didn't attend the ceremony, despite Titanic...
Yeah. I'm starting to worry I'm going to lose a T-shirt.
Oh, I'm talking boxers, mate. So, Gilbert Grape, nothing for the Basketball Diaries. Have you seen Basketball Diaries?
No, this sounds terrifying. It's that you know. You're like IMDb.
Yeah, I think I did a project on him at college once, so have fun. But I left college in 2010. 2021, when I left college.
Honestly, my neck got whiplash. Like, what?
Because I'm clearly young.
The reason you knew so much about the original Oscars, because you were there.
Yeah. Right, so Gilbert Grape, Wall Street, The Departed, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and The Revenant. He's gone up six times and he's won once.
I think I might have to take your top.
Really?
Because I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was after The Revenant. So you said five times. Oh. He'd been nominated four times. I can see your titties! Yeah.
I feel like that's a technicality.
Should we both take them off?
Well, it's quite impressive knowledge from me.
Yeah, but that's not what I asked. You can't go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and he's like, where is the Suez Canal? And go, well, I know the square root of 92. That's impressive, isn't it? Isn't it? The best bit is we got 9 minutes after this call. Imagine the person who produces walks in and like, why are you both topless?
Are you taking yours
like,
off as
I
well?
I feel like it's only fair.
Okay, fair enough, mate. Thank you.
So you enjoyed the Oscars, bud?
Great, yeah.
Yeah? This is a TikTok. This is a TikTok. We put the tit into TikTok.
I should have shaved my nipples.
I should grow some hair on mine.
What's weird is I feel better.
Honestly, we should do this more often. We look like we vote for Trump. Sat in our jeans, tops off, sweaty. Oh.
Yeah.
Should we go on to the next segment and put our t-shirts back on?
Oh, I thought.
Oh, we were no. Do you want to?
Well, it is nicer.
It's so much more relaxing.
Well, just because I have. What's that? Oh, yeah, a career. Maybe I should put this back on.
So I also want to talk about an interview I did with Robert Kirkman. Are you familiar with him?
A little bit, yeah.
So he created The Walking Dead. He also created Invincible. Have you seen that?
I feel like I know of it.
My whole thing in life is to tell people to watch Invincible.
Okay.
It's an Amazon Prime animated superhero show. In a similar light to The Boys, it's very like dark and gritty. But it's also like really funny, like Seth Rogen's in it. He plays a one-eyed alien called Alan.
I mean, love Seth Rogen, by the way.
Yeah.
He's one of my heroes.
Weirdly, I just thought, as soon as I said that, I was like, he also played a one-eyed alien called Bob in Monsters vs. Aliens.
And he's played Paul. In Pool.
What a weird typecast. Like he plays extraterrestrials with very generic white man names. That's his thing. Like his agent, so like, What? You've got a four-legged creature called Steven in. Seth, get in.
Seth.
It's such a good series. And I got to speak to Robert Kirkman about it. We spoke about Steven Yeun being great in it. J.K. Simmons is in it, by the way, as Omni-Man. It's one of the greatest sort of superhero characters out there. So I'm just going to let you sit back and listen to it for the next 10 minutes, you poor soul. Okay. You're so lucky to hear this. You're so, thanks for coming here and listening to me talk for 10 minutes. You lucky boy.
All right.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Been talking about Invincible. That's always fun to do. So happy to be sitting in front of my computer, Zooming with the fine folks in the media.
I'm glad you said it's a fun thing to do, because otherwise this is going to be a very awkward 10 minutes.
No, I'm having a great time. Let's do it.
I want to begin with some proper hard-hitting journalism right here.
Let's do it.
Since the release of Invincible, do you get free chicken pot pies?
No, I do not. I don't even know. Like, is there like a company that's famous for making chicken pot pies? Or is that like a...
Now that I know there's a gap in the market, I might drop the whole journalism thing and just start making chicken pot pies.
I think you would that would be a welcomed endeavor for a lot of people.
Oh, amazing. I've got my first hashtag ad from you. That's brilliant. That worked out really well. You and J.K. Simmons have created a legendary character in Omni-Man. I think it's down to the writing, the story, and his performance as well. What does J.K. Simmons bring to the role of Omni-Man that no one else could?
I mean, JK is the guy that can do it all in a way that most people can't. I think that there's a level of like gentle compassion that is present in Omni-Man that people maybe don't remember or don't like expect to be there or haven't recognized. And, you know, he's very fatherly. He's very warm. And then he's, you know, very violent and very deadly and very threatening. And to be able to swing to those extremes is something that can come off very off-putting or very like unbalanced or very bizarre. And he does it in a way that is, you know, completely sensible. And you can definitely see that these are like two sides to the same character in a way that I feel like another actor might not be able to pull off. And, you know, it's something that he's done in countless roles, and you've seen him. You know, a lot of people reference Whiplash, but one of the main touch points for me was the show Oz, which is a little older HBO show. And he, especially in the pilot episode of that, was somebody that was like so warm and welcoming and kind, and then like very cold and very matter of fact in how evil he was, very subtle with the way he was making that turn. And he's just really excellent, and it's amazing to be able to work with him.
How many times have you had to like sort of just hold him and give him like a warm glass of milk and be like, shh, you're not a monster. You're not a monster. It's not real.
No, I mean, he's such a lovely guy. And I think he knows anyone that works with him has such nice things to say about him. And unfortunately, you know, since the pandemic, every voice record that we've done has been remote. So it's all over Zoom, and there have been strict protocols and, you know, not allowing people to come to the recording studios. And the actors come into the recording studios, and then we'll do things remote. And so I haven't had as much time with him since season one. But season one, I mean, you know, he was just the nicest guy and would chat and hang out with us. And I think he's well aware that, you know, he's acting. And I don't think there's any worry that all of this, you know, sinister things that he brings into his characters are present in him personally.
I love you on your press runs, because undoubtedly, I assume you've had it today. People are going to ask you, could Omni-Man beat Superman? Could Omni-Man beat Homelander? And what I love about it is as soon as you say anything, the internet goes, right, here we go. This is it. Yeah. I love to watch it. Is there a superhero from any franchise, any universe outside of Invincible that Omni-Man couldn't beat?
You know, maybe Sleepwalker. I don't know.
But that's just a maybe. That's just a maybe. Sure. What I've got there is Omni-Man could beat everyone else.
No, look, the reason I like answering those questions is I don't think about superhero scale, you know, like I don't have a list, you know, I have a fairly encyclopedic knowledge of, you know, comic book characters and superheroes in particular, but I don't have them ranked. I don't know how much weight Thor can lift or how fast Thor can move and relate, you know, so I could sit here and go, I don't know, man, maybe Galactus, but for all I know, on the like ranking scale, Galactus is far below Superman. So the fact that I've already said that Omni-Man could beat Superman means that he could definitely beat Galactus, but I have no idea. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't really take it very seriously, which is why I enjoy it when people attack me, because I'm just like, I don't know. But I mean, the truth of the matter is, depending on who's writing the story, any superhero can beat any other superhero. And I'm sorry, it's agreed upon canon in the lore of superhero stories that Batman can beat Superman and often does. And come on.
Well, next time we chat to season three, I want like scribblings on your walls, like a beautiful mind as you're planning all of this out. I mean, we've spoken about JK. You've got some serious clout in your cast. I mean, as we said, Academy Award winner JK Simmons, Academy Award winner Mahershala Ali. I mean, yesterday, Sterling K. Brown nominated for an Academy Award. With the Invincible series becoming an Invincible live action movie, I think you can get anyone you want right now. So make a plea. Who's the one actor that you would love to get in the Invincible live action movie? And just make a plea. I'm pretty sure whoever it is, they're watching this right now.
Ed O'Neill. My answer is always Ed O'Neill. I want to work with Ed O'Neill. I've been dying to work with Ed O'Neill my entire career.
For what role?
Oh, who cares? He could be Omni-Man. He could be Cecil. He could be anybody. He could be Battle Beast. Ed O'Neill can do anything.
Have you thought about Ed O'Neill being everyone?
Every minute of every day. But I'm game for that as well.
I do want to reserve one role. Dinosaurus.
Okay.
Can we?
British.
I'm an actor. I'll do what I can be a dinosaur. I can be an American dinosaur.
I am unaware of any British actor being able to do a convincing American accent.
Well, that's why I'm one better than Daniel Day-Lewis. We also have to talk about the main man himself, Invincible.
Yeah.
Stevens appeared in this. He's obviously appeared in The Walking Dead. I say we complete the hat trick and cast him in another one of your projects, which is Marvel Zombies. That's becoming an MCU project.
Sure.
Who do you think he'd be perfect to play in Marvel Zombies?
Look, I don't want to seem like I'm joking here, but Steven could literally play anybody. I think Steven would be a great Captain America. I think Steven would be a great Wolverine. I think Steven would be a great Hawkeye, Giant Man, Hulk, whatever. I think that Steven has proven himself to be one of the most versatile actors working in Hollywood today. If you look at just the wide range of characters he's playing outside of Invincible, I know it's hard for people to realize he's doing things other than Invincible, but he is. He's just the absolute greatest. And it upsets me that he was clearly slumming it when he did Invincible season one, but the heights that his career has gone to since he signed on to Invincible, now it's just like, oh man, this guy's really... I feel like by the time we get to the final season of Invincible, he'll have like 9 Oscars and 17 Emmys and maybe a Golden Globe or two if people still care about those.
I can't wait for you to say this sort of thing about me once you've seen my Dinosaurus performance. Word for word.
I think you're going full EGOT with that Dinosaurus experience.
The musical's going to be a bit iffy, but yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So obviously the Marvel Cinematic Universe are developing Marvel Zombies into a miniseries. Do you have much involvement with that?
I have zero involvement with that, in that I like heard about it like other people. You know, I was like, oh, okay, they're doing that. Cool.
Well, dude, I'm going to have to go, but thank you so much for chatting to me. Thank you for bringing the greatest TV show into my life. Thank you so much, mate. I am obsessed with Invincible. Thank you, bud.
Thank you. No, it's been a lot of fun, and we're so happy that people are getting season 2, and, you know, we can't wait to, you know, keep going. So yeah, it's a great time to be alive.
And usually at this point, I'd wave goodbye, but I'll do it as Dinosaurus. Just one last...
He has full-size arms. You don't even know anything about this character.
I thought it would be funnier.
No, No, you have lost that role, good sir. We are done.
Oh, thank you so much, mate. Have a good one.
What a disappointing way to end an interview, I tell you.
I love him, but how hideously awkward is that moment where I, because I thought it'd be funny to do tiny little dinosaur arms, because like that's funny. Yeah. Do that in an interview. Yeah, and then he said, I know nothing about the source material. Don't ever talk to him again. What a horrible way to end an interview. Word for word, that's what he said to me.
I would like crawl up and die if that happened to me.
And here I am publicly putting it on a podcast. It's tragic, isn't it? It's really tragic.
It's not tragic. It's uncomfortable.
And I made, when we played that back, I just sort of sat there staring at you as that moment. I could see, like, Dan, stop making eye contact with me. It's not fair on me.
I immediately regret doing this podcast. You got me to the end. And I've been naked in this podcast.
Yeah, you was fine with that. But the moment I said, here, listen to some of my work I did recently. Yeah. Oh, no thanks. Well, dude, that's it. Thank you so much for having a little chinwag with me and for showing me way more skin than I ever thought you'd show me.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. Would say, like, I'm a big fan, but this is first episode of the podcast. However, I'm a huge fan of yours because you're fucking hilarious and you're fucking annoyingly good interviewer.
You're a little angel.
And yeah, I love you, man. So thank you for asking me.
No, I would repay the favour, but I enjoy it being about me. So
Yeah. That's the theme of today's podcast. Yeah. And your life.
You sound just like my fiance now. Well, that's it. So hopefully I'll post another one next week if I'm not too lazy. This might be one and done. This might be the only podcast, but I could play it every year around Oscar time.
Yeah, perfect.
Just keep repeating it. It's great. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Love you, man. Thank
love you.